Thank you for joining with us here this evening in Bethel Free Presbyterian Church and in Enniskillen in County Fermanagh. Wherever you are listening in online, we thank you for joining with us. Our prayer is this night that you will know the Lord drawing near to your heart and that you'll know the blessing of the Lord and hear the speaking voice of God to your heart. If you're a believer, a child of God, may you be strengthened, led on with the Lord and drawn closer to your Saviour. But if you're not saved, our prayer is even this very evening that you will hear that call of God in the gospel, that you'll repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation. You can listen in online to our broadcast here every Lord's Day, every Sunday at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And then our midweek Bible study every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Do pray for this online ministry. Do pray that God's hand of blessing would be upon it and even make it known to others and encourage others as well to listen in to the Word of God here a week by week. We also give tonight a very special welcome to two of the students with us from the Whitfield College of the Bible. This is normally our Whitfield College Sunday. There generally would be more students, but due to the present restrictions, there's only two able to come tonight. We welcome our brother, Mr. Samuel Fitton, second-year theological student from our Portadown congregation. He'll be leading and giving a word of testimony. And then we welcome also our brother, Mr. Simon Anderson, fourth-year theological student from our Mother Glass congregation. And we pray that the Lord's rich blessing will be upon him as he brings the word of the Lord tonight. But we would encourage you to pray for our college, the principal, the lecturers, and all the pupils and the students, that God's blessing would be upon them, and that the Lord would prepare them and equip them for the work of the Lord, and trust them forth in his time and in his will, into the harvest field, that God would open up doors of service for them. And do pray that even God will touch all their hearts as well, young men, young women as well, that they might go to the college as well, and that they might hear that call in their heart and in their soul, and to serve the Lord and to present themselves for full-time Christian service. Now, just some announcements I'd like to leave with our congregation. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, there's a meeting of our church session. We'll ask the members of our session just to remember that tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Tuesday night, the 23rd of February, our Bible study here, 8 o'clock, I'll be along to bring God's Word. Then Friday night, the 26th of February, 8 p.m., the Youth Fellowship are meeting via Zoom. We commend that to all the young people. Trust as many as possible to be able to gather in that fashion around God's Word. This coming Saturday, the 27th of February, there's a special day of prayer organized by our presbytery. That's 10 a.m. in the morning and 2 p.m. in the afternoon. Those prayer times are via Zoom, and it's open to all members and friends of our congregations. If you wish to go along to that prayer time and wish the login details, contact either myself or some of our elders, and we can forward those to you so that you can join up with those seasons of prayer. Next Lord's Day, the 28th of February, our online services will be at 12 noon and 7 p.m. In the will of the Lord, I belong to bring God's Word. Another very important announcement, just in light of a recent presbytery decision, our church building will be reopening again for public worship, and that will be on Tuesday night, the 2nd of March, 8 p.m. for our midweek prayer meeting, and then that will be followed in the Lord's Day, the 7th of March, of public worship, 12 noon and 7 p.m. And can I say all previous COVID regulations prior to the present lockdown will apply at all our meetings. And this is something we thank God for, something we've been longing for, and we thank God for the great mercy even to meet again together in God's house. So do please pray much for God's blessing upon us as we gather again in that fashion, and do make it known as well to all the members and friends of our congregation. Then as a church, we'd just like to express our sincere sympathy to our sister Mrs. Margaret Knox, and also sympathize with her sons John, David and Timothy on the passing just last week of Margaret's husband John, and we just assure that family of our prayers at this time of great need, that they will know much of the Lord's comfort and God's grace in their time of sorrow and time of loss. That's really all by way of necessary announcements. We're going to hand over now to our brother Samuel. Pray the Lord will richly bless him as he leads the remaining part of our meeting tonight. Thank you and God bless you.
We are thankful that even with all these various restrictions that we can still proceed with the deputation schedule, and we are thankful to you as a congregation for your prayers for us and your support even in years gone by. If we could just commence this evening by coming to the Lord in prayer and committing the meeting unto him. Our eternal God and our most gracious Father in heaven, we thank thee once again that we can come to thee through the Lord Jesus Christ, the only mediator between man and God. We thank thee, Father, that we can come and plead the blood of Christ. We thank thee for that blood. We thank thee for that blood which was shed on the cross at Calvary to make that atonement for our sins, to redeem us from that condemnation that was due unto us. For we know that we were sinners. O God, we know that we were unrighteous. The scriptures tell us that there is none that doeth good. It tells us that there is none righteous, but yet we rejoice that we can be made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. O God, we do thank thee for the opportunity that we have, even with these various restrictions, to come and to speak thy word. We do thank thee, O God, for our brother Simon, who is here this evening to preach the gospel. We do pray that as he takes up the words of scripture, that thou wouldst bless him. We pray that thou wouldst fill him with thy spirit. We pray, O God, that thou wouldst even apply the word that is preached to those who are listening. We do remember those in the congregation here in Bethel. We do pray for them. We do pray that thy hand would be upon each one. We do pray, O God, that thou wouldst supply each need. And Father, we don't know the situation that everyone is facing. People have different challenges. They have different trials at this present time. But Father, we pray that thy word tonight, that it would be a word in season for each and every person who is tuning in. O God, we pray that thou wouldst be seen tonight. We pray that thou wouldst be glorified through the preaching of the gospel. We do remember as well those who are laid aside with sickness. We do pray for them. We do remember some of our ministers who are unwell at this time. And we do pray that thy hand would be upon them. And we pray, O God, that thou wouldst be pleased to raise them up again so that they can continue in their service for thee. We do remember as well that the family who have been bereaved recently, the Knox family. We do pray that thou wouldst be a comfort even unto that family. We pray, O God, that thou wouldst supply each need and that thou wouldst draw near to them even at this time of their loss. And, O Father, we do remember others across this land, others, brothers and sisters in Christ who have lost loved ones. There has been many a loved one taken out into eternity over this last year. And Father, we pray that thou wouldst be with each one. We do remember each faithful servant of thine who is preaching thy word this evening. We do pray that thy hand would be upon them and that thou wouldst bless them. We pray, O God, that thou wouldst be pleased to speak through the ministry of the word even this night. Our land, when we look out on it, we see that it has departed from thee. It seems that every man is doing right in his own eyes. And, O God, there's only one thing that can heal this land, and that is to turn back to the word of God. O God, we pray that thou wouldst be pleased to spark a revival, even here in this town of Enniskillen. We pray that thou wouldst bless the preaching of our brother, Mr. Porter. We pray, O God, that thou wouldst use him to win many precious souls from this town and district for thee. O God, we pray that this church would be built. We rejoice in that promise in Scripture that Christ has said that he will build his church and that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. O God, we rejoice that we know that we have the victory. Men may scheme, they may conspire, but yet we know that with Christ we have the victory. Who can be against us if God be for us? Father, we pray that thou wouldst go before us in all that takes place tonight. We pray that thou wouldst speak. We pray that thou wouldst challenge the hearts of those who listen. And, O God, we pray that all that is done this evening, that it would be to thy honour and to thy glory. We pray all these things in thy name. Amen and amen. If I could just read two verses from the book of 2 Timothy and the chapter 3. Two verses from the book of 2 Timothy and the chapter 3, just to commence my testimony. They are the verses 14 and the verse 15. They read, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." I was born in the year 1997 in North Yorkshire in the northeast of England. But I've lived here in Northern Ireland from I was quite a young age. I'm also a member of our Bethany Free Presbyterian Church in Portadown. And as Mr. Porter said, I'm now a second year theological student in the Whitfield College of the Bible. But in regards to my background, I was born into a Christian home. Both my parents were saved, they were believers, and they sought to bring me up knowing the scriptures and the way of salvation. I was sent along each week to my local church. I went to the Sunday services, I went to the Sunday school, children's meeting, Bible class, a youth fellowship as I grew up. And I have to say that I knew, like Timothy here in this passage, I knew the gospel from an early age. I knew the scriptures. I was taught the way of salvation so clearly. But yet, simply knowing the scriptures is not enough for salvation. The Bible tells us that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Each one of us, whenever we were born, we entered into this world as a sinner on a road to eternity spent in hell. But there is only one way, the Bible tells us, that we can escape, and that is to call upon the name of the Lord for his salvation. And I am thankful tonight that I can testify that the Lord called me to salvation and that he saved my soul on the 17th of March 2002 when my mother led me to the Lord. I have to say that I don't remember everything about that occasion, but that night I do know that I realized I was a sinner and that I needed to call on the name of the Lord to be saved. And maybe tonight there is one and you're listening online this evening. And you maybe were brought up in this church. You maybe came through the Sunday school. You came through the children's meeting. You maybe came through the youth fellowship. You've been here all your life. You've been brought up hearing the word of God. But yet for many years you have rejected the message of the gospel. Maybe you know that that message, it is true. You don't doubt that God's word is true. But yet you've never called upon the Lord for salvation. Many today, they will try to make out that all you need to do is do good to all or love your neighbor, and that will enable you to go to heaven. But that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us that salvation is through faith in Christ alone. That is the only way in which a man can go to heaven. I'm sure many of you know the children's chorus, which sums this up very well. It says, "One way God said to get to heaven, Jesus is the only way," and that is the only way of salvation. But the Christian life is not easy. There are times, perhaps, for those who are saved, that you feel that you're on the mountaintop. You feel that everything is wonderful and everything is going great. But there are other times when you feel like you're going through the valley. We can think of characters in the Bible, such as Job and Elijah. And we see there that those men, they face many difficulties. And I can testify that my experience in life has been no different. There has been times of great trial, times of great difficulty. But I can testify to the truth that the Lord will not forsake or leave you. He will always stand by his people. And maybe tonight there's one and you're listening and you're going through a troubled time. Maybe you have made the wrong decisions and you don't know where to go. Maybe you're struggling to cope with the circumstances that we find ourselves in regards to this situation with the coronavirus pandemic. You maybe feel that there's no one you can turn to. There's no one you can talk to about the situation that you find yourself in. But friend, there is someone who you can turn to. No matter how dark the situation looks, no matter how difficult that valley is, no matter how much you're struggling, you can take it to the Lord in prayer. You can bring it to him, for he cares about each one of his children. Psalm 55 in the verse 22 says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." And also another verse is 1 Peter chapter 5 and the verse 7. "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." But in regards to where I am now in my life, the Lord really first spoke to me about going to college through a message that was preached by the Reverend David DeCanio at the Easter Convention in 2015. That message was on the call of Saul of Tarsus from Acts chapter 9 and the verse 6. And it was the first part of that particular verse that really challenged me about doing something more for the Lord. That first part of the verse, it reads, "And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" That evening, reference was also made to Acts chapter 26 and the verse 16, which says, "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." And that explained what the Lord was calling the Apostle Paul to be. And that night I was greatly challenged by the Lord about doing something more, about going into full-time service and going and studying in the Whitfield College of the Bible. But I can honestly say that until that point in my life, I had no serious intention of going anywhere near the Whitfield College of the Bible. I had plenty of other ideas for my life. I had plenty of other paths or careers which I thought about pursuing. And I have to say that following that in the weeks and the months that followed, that the thought of going through all the various examinations, going through the application process, the standing up in front of people and speaking or preaching, it completely scared the life out of me. And I spent the next few years trying to convince myself that I'd got it wrong. I couldn't do it. But I can honestly say that I did my very best. I did my utmost to put the idea out of my head. And I tried to go down many different paths in life. The Lord shut the door in each one. I can remember applying for all sorts of jobs and careers all over the country, in the mainland and everything. I remember trying to join the armed forces once I'd finished my education in around 2016, 2017. But every door I tried to open was just shut straight in my face. There was always some reason or some circumstance that came up that meant it wouldn't work. And over that period of time and the years following, the Lord continued to challenge me. He continued to speak to me. And many a time I remember sitting in a church service and it felt like the minister was preaching straight at me. I'm sure the minister, on those occasions, they didn't know that I was thinking this way, but it felt like they were just buttonholing me from the pulpit. But the issue, it really came to a head around the beginning of 2018. And at the beginning of the year, I had prayed that if the Lord was calling me to go and to serve him, that if I was to go and study for the ministry, that he would present me with opportunities to preach. I had never preached before. I think the most I'd ever done up to that point in regards to public speaking was testifying for perhaps no more than a minute or two. That would have been the height of it. But the same week that I prayed that, or it may have been a week later, but it was around a week or two at the most, I was phoned by one of the elders in my congregation in Portadown. And he asked me, would I be willing to bring a short word at the nursing homes for every so often? And then a week later, I was asked by one of our deacons, would I speak at a youth meeting in the church? And I have to say, I did not expect the Lord to open up these opportunities. But you can imagine the shock on my face whenever, out of the blue, these opportunities arose. But the doubt still persisted about whether or not I had the ability. And it was actually through a message that was preached in the feeding of the 5,000 by the Reverend Baker. And he preached on how the disciples were told to go and feed the people. But the disciples, they were unable to feed them. They couldn't do it, and they had to return to the Lord for strength. And the Reverend Baker applied that and said that in the same way that the disciples had to return to the Lord for strength, we have to go to the Lord for the strength to serve him. Our strength is not enough. We need the help of the Almighty. And that night, I have to say that every excuse I had used to oppose going to college was completely torpedoed. I had been focusing on my own inability rather than asking the Lord for help and for strength. Maybe there is one listening tonight. Maybe you're sitting in your house watching this on an iPad or a laptop or whatever, but you have a burden to serve the Lord. Now, it may be that you feel led to study with us in the Whitfield College, or it may be that you want to get involved in your local church. You feel the Lord leading you to a work. Maybe it's in the Sunday school or youth work or some other aspect of the children's work, or maybe it's something entirely different than that. But you feel unable or you feel inadequate for that task. You don't think that you could do it. But friend, if you come to the Lord, if you come and you ask him for the help and the strength to do it, he will give you that help and strength. Following that, I spoke with my minister, the Reverend Abernethy, and he gave me some wise counsel, which I'm thankful for. And then we embarked on the application process, where we commenced our studies the following September in 2019. We have to say that it's not been an easy year and a half in college. It has been difficult with this situation that we all find ourselves in. But we are thankful that we have been able to continue our studies online. I would like to thank each one of you for your prayers for us in college. And I would also encourage you to continue praying for us. Do pray that the Lord would continue to speak as well, and that he would continue to call men and women to come and to lay down their lives in service for the Master. But just before I close this word of testimony, I would like just to leave that verse that really challenged me with you, and just ask you to pray over it, and to ask the Lord to show you what he would have you to do. That verse in Acts 9, verse 6, where the Apostle Paul said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Amen and amen. Our Bible reading this evening is taken from the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis and the chapter 3. And we are going to read from verse 1 down to verse 15. So that's Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through to verse number 15. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, 'Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said unto the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took off the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? The woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Amen. And we do trust that the Lord will bless the reading of his word this evening. At this stage of the meeting now, we are going to hand the rest of the service over to Mr. Simon Anderson. He is a fourth-year theological student from our Mulleglass congregation, and he is going to bring us the Word of God now.
Well, good evening, folks. It's a joy to be with you tonight here in Bethel. We thank Mr. Porter for the kind invitation to have the students along this another year. Thank Mr. Samuel Fitton, for leading the meeting and sharing that wonderful clear word of testimony tonight. I was just thinking as he was testifying there of the wonderful privilege it is to be saved as a child, as a young boy, and how then the Lord has called him, even as a young man, into the college. And surely my prayer is with his tonight, that if you're listening in tonight, that even as a young boy or a young girl, perhaps listening in there with your mum and dad, or perhaps your granny and granda, this will be the night which the Lord will call you and bring you wonderfully to himself and save you for time and for eternity. Or maybe you're listening in tonight and you've been challenged, even in recent days, of your life. What is it? What is your life? It is a vapour that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. You're challenged about what are you going to do with it, what the Lord would have you to do. We pray even tonight the Lord would call you into full-time service, call you even to prepare yourself in college and then lead you on whatever it is he would have for you to do. We're turning to this passage of Scripture which our brother has read, Genesis 3 tonight, and I want to take as our text the verse 9. The verse 9, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" And with the copy of God's word open before you, even there in the home, we'll just bow momentarily in prayer and seek the Lord's help tonight. Our gracious God and our eternal heavenly Father, we praise thee and thank thee, Lord, even for this meeting already, all that has taken place. We thank thee for this very word, very clear word of testimony that has went forth even to thy saving and keeping grace. We thank thee, Lord, for even how thou hast been pleased to bring our brother even to this point. We thank thee, Lord, that even the help that thou hast given the students today already in this house, but we realise that this is now a new meeting. And Lord, we realise our great need of thee. And Father, therefore we cry on to thee, Lord, to empty me of sin and self this night. Pour out your Spirit upon us. And Lord, that you would please even to use us tonight in the proclamation of thy precious word. We pray for all who listen in. And we pray that thou would apply this word both to saint and to sinner alike this night. And Lord, you'll even draw back the backslider, we pray of thee. Restore unto them the joy of thy so great salvation. If there are any listening in tonight that know not thee as Lord and Saviour of their life, that this will be the night which will come to Christ. Throw up those puny arms of rebellion and flee unto thee for life eternal. O come, bless us now. O let my name perish, I pray of thee. Hide me far behind the cross. And surely our heart's desire is that none be seen tonight save Jesus and Jesus only. Amen. Amen. "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" The scene is set before us here this evening in the Garden of Eden. This particular passage which we have just read is best known to us as the account of the fall of man. It is here where man is in the greatest act of treason, sinned against his Creator God, and marred his relationship with him. It is of utmost importance that we understand that we are in the condition that we are found today because of what happened there all those years ago in Eden. The sickness, sorrow, death, coronavirus and so on are all results of the fall. In the opening two chapters of Genesis, we learn there about creation, the creation of heaven and earth, the Garden of Eden, and the creation of all the beasts of the fields, the fowls of the air. We learn of the creation of man, how man was created there in the image of God. And we see then God's command to man to rule over that which he had created. We learn how the Creator God then caused man to fall into that deep sleep, and that master surgeon, he removed that rib from the side of man and created a woman. God then made that wonderful, made man for woman, or the woman for man, and he was that preacher then who said that what I have joined together, let no man put asunder, establishing right back there from the beginning, the great institution of marriage. After this, he tells man and woman to be fruitful and to multiply. The world was paradise. Everything was there in a paradisical state. It was perfect. Right through the first opening chapters of Genesis, those first two chapters. However then, when we arrive at this chapter 3, which we have just read tonight, we encounter the tempter, the devil, the serpent, the enemy of God, the roaring lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We come face to face with the devastation he brings as a result of the fall of man. We see and hear and feel the heartbreak of God and witness his love, his grace and his mercy. Here in our text tonight, in this verse 9, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" This important question asked by God is with regard to Adam's condition, not his position. It is important that we note this evening right from the outset this fact, that God knew exactly where Adam was, both positionally and conditionally. God is omniscient, all-knowing. He rules over and reigns over all things with that all-seeing eye. And when we read this question, it appears that God is just speaking to Adam. But in effect, he is prophetically speaking to all mankind, the entire human race. We see over in Romans 5 in the verse 12, "Wherefore as by one man, namely Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, you and me, for all have sinned." Therefore, as Adam, as our representative, this question comes to both you and me tonight also. Where art thou? It is a question which is endless in its meaning. And I want you to consider with me tonight God's question to Adam and to us. We have already established that God didn't ask Adam, "Where art thou?" because he didn't know. So why then did he ask this question? Why did he put this question before him? Well, God desired that he would recognize where he was, spiritually speaking. As we contemplate this question tonight, see first of all with me how God speaks with a stirring voice. God's voice was familiar to Adam. We have seen this already as he and Eve had been in continual communion there with God. We read of this there in verse 8. And on this occasion when they heard the speaking voice of God, what did they do? They went and they hid there among the trees. Their eyes had been opened. The question is asked of them, "Where art thou?" with that stirring voice. God seeks to awaken their consciousness to the state of their condition. It's a wake-up call. And tell me tonight, perhaps as you listen in even to this broadcast, maybe this is just exactly what you need. Maybe you need that wake-up call. Is the Lord speaking to you? Has he been speaking to you already today with that stirring voice? God here calls to Adam and to all mankind, "Where art thou?" God asks this question with that stirring voice to awaken man's conscience. Man was naked, no longer covered by the glorious Shekinah glory of God, and he now had the spirit of fear governing his life instead of the voice of God. Verse 10, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Because I was naked, I hid myself." Some would have you believe that you can get saved when you want. Just say a wee prayer, commit your life to God, turn over a new leaf. But dear soul, tonight, Christ reminds us that no man can come to him except God the Father, which has sent him, draw him. Man, woman, young person today, if you're ever going to be saved, this is where it begins. The speaking voice of God brings fear and dread into the heart of the sinner. And Adam is now in sin and as such would receive and was entitled to nothing more than the wrath of God. He is no longer good, but sin dwelleth within him. His will to perform that which was evil. He is warring against the law of his mind, and that of being brought captive to the law of sin which is in his members. His very imagination is becoming evil. Oh, wretched man that he is. Then God comes and he asks this question with that stirring voice. Where art thou? God seeks to awaken their consciousness to the state of their condition, to convince and convict them of their sin and to lead them to the confession of it. John 16:8 says, and when he has come, he will convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. But look down there at our text tonight at verse 11 and 12 as we see Adam's response as he is challenged there with a stirring voice by the Lord. What is Adam? Oh, Adam doesn't confess. Rather, he blames Eve. And in doing so, then, he accuses Almighty God. When God called to Adam and to all mankind, and he said, "Where art thou?" He had the audacity to accuse his very Creator God. Yet God comforted them by letting them know that it's not the wrath of God, but the love of God. This question opened up the wounds of Adam's broken relationship, convincing him that he was lost. This conviction of sin, you see, men and women tonight and young people, it's a supernatural work of God. It is the Spirit that moves upon the hearts of men. It's more than just a feeling bad or a feeling sorry. It's more than the preacher laying it on, hot and heavy, as it were. And surely today it's the desire of this preacher that you take heed to the question that the Lord asks. That you understand what your condition is tonight before a thrice holy God. Nonetheless, I must concede that man cannot cause that anxious thought. Conviction of sin is a work of God upon the heart of man. And the Bible says there in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And God questions Adam with that stirring voice, "Where art thou?" He's causing him to think, what has he done? What condition was he in? It is a question that produced that feeling of dreadfulness, that feeling of nothingness, that feeling of emptiness. As the Lord was convicting him of his sin, causing him to understand the dishonor he had committed in the face of God, exposing his soul to the very wrath of God. Tell me tonight, is God speaking to you with that stirring voice? Is he awakening you of your need of him? Convincing you? Convicting you of your sinfulness? Where art thou? God's question to Adam and to us, God speaks there with a stirring voice. But see, also, God speaks with a sorrowing voice. You see, the language used here in this text all points to the sorrow and the heartbreak of God for Adam. Oh, where art thou, Adam? Adam, what have you done? Why have you ended up in this way? You think of the fellowship that was fragrant, the walk together in the cool of the day, the relationship that Adam had with the Lord, it was real. Sadly, Eve had been enticed by the devil, and they'd both embarked then upon the evil and sinned and ate the forbidden fruit and so on. And now they were exposed, naked, poor, most miserable. Look with me, the first question which is mentioned even in this text tonight in the verse 1 of Genesis chapter 3. It is asked of the devil to Eve to cast doubt upon God's word. The devil then distorts the word of God by saying, "Hath God said?" Casting doubt. And then he distorts, "You can't eat of every tree."
And then he goes on further in the denial of the word of God in the verse 4. Look, ye shall not die. Then ultimately succeeds in the deception there of Eve in verse 5. Ye shall be as gods. And surely is that not the root of man's problem even today? Everybody wants to be top dog. Everybody wants to be the best that there is. Oh, the devil promises the world, but oh, the disappointment. Oh, the deception that overcome, even has overcome many a one since. Adam and Eve, remember, were in paradise, dwelling there in the presence of God. They were entertaining evil, but tell me tonight, are you entertaining evil? Oh, you're in the presence of God. You're gathered around the best that you possibly can, round devices in your own home. You've come together as a church family in the means available to us and all that it is, and we're so thankful for us. But tell me tonight, are you entertaining evil? Where are you frequenting? What evil are you partaking of? Who are you sinning with? What are you doing? Oh, it's not me you need to confess your sin to, but rather Christ. The devil promises you the world, yet in reality he's carrying you along nicely to your conclusion. And perhaps there's a young person listening in today beyond or no illusion. The devil promises to fulfill your carnal desires, and while he cunningly just leads you along to your ultimate destruction. God calls out to you today with that sorrowing voice, with a heart that's breaking over your sinfulness. Where art thou? How have you got into such a state? Adam was made in the image of God, yet he sinned there against his Creator. And yet it is breathtaking to think that the Lord spoke to Adam with that sorrowing voice. He felt for Adam. Heart was broken over Adam. Oh, you say, how do you know that, preacher? Genesis 6 and 6. Turn over your Bible and see it for yourself. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. God was sorrowful over Adam's disobedience. Oh, many would seek to teach that God can neither feel nor suffer. Yet the scripture reveals God can do anything and everything. Yet he is omnipotent. 2 Peter 3 and 9 reveals us that the Lord is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, men and women, tonight we have a God who feels the sorrow, feels sorrow for the sins of his people. And sinner friend, tonight as you listen into this broadcast, as God looks upon you, he's sorrowful over your sinful ways, over your sinful choices, over your open rebellion. Christ weeps over you as he mourned over Jerusalem there in Matthew 23 and 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. And you would not. Don't know if you've ever watched the hen, wee newborn chicks, how she tries to bring them in and fluff them up and keep them warm. The Lord Jesus offers so, so, so much more. Will you not come to Christ this evening, confessing in the words of the prodigal, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. We're reminded of the reception that he received. And you too can receive that reception tonight. A great feast and not a great funeral. That's what happened that day. He came home from the pig pen. And I expect there's farmers even in this congregation listening in, and you'd be well familiar with the smell of the pig pen. And there he was. He came home stinking. home to his father. And he was received. Even the stench of his sin, the robe was placed upon him. Shoes upon his feet. He was welcomed home. And God is so gracious and merciful. Perhaps you say tonight, "Oh Simon, you don't know the depths of sin that I have become involved in," and so on. God cares not for people like me. You know, friend, I say to you tonight, in the words of John Bunyan, "Let not Satan deceive thee that God is hard and unkind, unwilling to forgive, but rather try him. And try him just as thou art, black and filthy, self-condemned. And if thou needest anything else to make thee try him." Think then of our text tonight before us as the cry went out, "Adam, Adam, where art thou?" God's question to Adam and to us. God speaks there with that stirring voice, with a sorrowing voice, but God speaks also with a searching voice. God speaks there with that searching voice for Adam. You see, God had not changed. He still loved Adam. And friends, today, you know, it's a wonderful thing to bear that in mind. Even in this year, 2021, God still has not changed. He's still the one who was and is and forever will be. He hadn't changed. There was hurt and offence there about what he had done. Yet the offer of forgiveness is clearly seen. God desired that he would return home. Oh yes, Adam was lost. Perhaps you realise tonight that you are lost. God's calling you with that searching voice. He's searching you out. Tell me, where are you? Where art thou? To lead you back into that fellowship and relationship with him. We think of the lighthouse, how it reveals to the shipping the way around all the various hazards and devastation that is around and in the sea beneath, to guide them to that path that will get them to their destination in safety. And so it is with the Saviour. He seeks to guide you. He seeks to guide you out of the darkness and bring you into the light of the glorious gospel even tonight. He reminds you as he questions you even with that searching voice. Oh, look no further. Because Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." The question remains, but where art thou? Pierced the heart of Adam like a spear, causing him to stop and to think. There was self-examination. What have I become? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? You see, Adam really realized that everything he had ever needed, God had promised. And so it is to you, sinner friend, tonight. All that you need for this life and the life which is to come is promised alone in Christ. He had that joy unspeakable and full of glory. He didn't fear God. He was covered with the Shekinah glory of God. He was in that relationship with God. He talked with God. He communed with God. And then all of a sudden, then he was found fearful of him, ashamed of his condition. Oh, how Adam had lost his way. How he had fell into sin so grossly. Yet we see God cry out to him with this searching voice. Oh, Adam, where art thou? And God is still asking that question today to mankind, to you and to me. And praise God for it. Where art thou? We rejoice that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's searching for you tonight, sinner friend. God give you everything you needed in this life. Health and strength even to listen in to this broadcast. He has given his only begotten Son. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Oh, you know, we rhyme these verses. Oh, do you ever stop and really think about that? He who knew no sin became sin for people like you, people like me. He was beaten, scourged, spat upon, mocked. How they plucked the hairs from his beard, his precious blood poured from his wounded side for sinners like you and me. Christ, for the joy, endured the cross, despising shame, died in agony to become our propitiation, our appeasement, satisfaction, suffering the full wrath of God in his body, that you and I could have everlasting life. And therefore tonight, I ask you on the authority of God's word, tell me, where art thou? God's question to Adam and to us. God speaks there with a stirring voice, with a sorrowing voice, with a searching voice. But finally tonight he speaks with a summoning voice. This question is posed by God with a summoning voice. You say, why or how is this so? Well, I'll tell you why, friend, because this question demands an answer. It must be responded to. Perhaps you have received a jury summons, and if so, you will be aware that it usually concludes with the words such as failure to report for jury duty is a violation of the law and is punishable by a fine, or you may be held in contempt of court. Or maybe worse still, you have been summoned to attend court for a crime which you have committed. Well, I have been reliably informed that such a letter concludes with the words failure to attend may result in your arrest. You see, men and women tonight, and young people, a summons must be responded to. You cannot ignore a summons. And Adam, yes, he sought to flee from God, and yet God calls out to him as he does to you this evening. And you're there in your own home or wherever it is that you're listening on to this service tonight. Where art thou? There's no getting away from this question. There must be an answer given. Sinner, tonight God calls you to account. He is holy, righteous and just, and therefore he must judge sin, and sin cannot and will not go unpunished. And the sorrow and the suffering spoken of in the verses 16 to 19 of this chapter 3 reveal to us God's judgment upon sin presently in this world. It was this judgment upon sin that caused man to be driven from the garden, and ultimately why we all face physical death today. Death comes to us as a result of the fall. For dust thou art, Genesis 3 and 19, and unto dust shalt thou return. Man seeks to return himself to the garden of perfection in Eden. However, he is stricken with inability. And you're powerless tonight, man and woman and young person, to save yourself. However, we rejoice in that first gospel promise of which we read of there in Genesis 3 and 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The prophet Amos heralds the warning. Prepare to meet thy God. It will only be through his merit and his work that we can ever be entitled to heaven. There's nothing any good in you or me that would ever merit eternal life. Tell me, how much longer will you put off answering this question? Where art thou? God speaks with this summoning voice, as we have noted, the present judgment because of sin, but see also the future judgment. How will you respond, tell me, on the last day, on that final day, when the books are opened and your life's works are all called to account? What will your response be, dear friend? Tell me, will you not run for your life tonight? I think of the words of Lot to Lot, Genesis 19 and Genesis 19 and the verse 17. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, and he said, "Escape for thy life." Will you not flee to Christ tonight? Will you not escape for thy life? Seek him for mercy. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. God's question to Adam and to us. God speaks with that stirring voice, that sorrowing voice, that searching voice, but ultimately that summoning voice. And he's asking you that question today. Where art thou? It's a personal, an individual question. My friend, tonight as you listen in, you'll have no excuse. If you die in your sinful condition, you will go to hell. And you cannot blame Adam. You cannot blame Eve. You cannot blame this preacher, as pure as he may be. You cannot blame God. Oh, you're hardening your neck even as I'm speaking, and you say, "Huh? Why can you say such things?" I'll tell you why. Because God is tenderly asking you this question. Where art thou? Amen. We trust that the Lord will take that which is of himself tonight, write it upon each and every heart. If the Lord has spoken to you and you need any spiritual help or counsel, make contact with the details even on the sermon audio page. Make contact with your minister. Contact me. Speak to a friend who is a Christian. Ask them to point you to Christ. If there's something else you need help with, contact the minister here, Mr. Porter. He'll be more than happy to help you. Contact me directly if you can. But don't forget about this question that demands an answer. Heavenly Father, we are humbled even as we have considered this question tonight. We look back on our own life in that time in our experience when you caused us to think upon these things. How thou didst open our blinded eyes. How thou didst bring us even to that point when we had a cry out unto thee, "What must I do to be saved?" And how, Lord, that thou dost gloriously save us for time and for eternity. And Lord, we just pray tonight that thou wilt speak on to hearts that have listened even as this word has went forth. And we pray that thou wilt grant no rest or no peace until they get this matter of soul salvation settled with thee. May their answer be as this question is put forth. Where art thou? They can say with a full heart that they're found in Christ. The blood has been applied to the doorpost, to the lintels of their life. They're found ready for heaven and for home. Tarry on, we pray. Speak on to hearts, even as the voice of the preacher goes silent now. For it's in Christ's name I'd ask it. Amen.